Good morning. I'm Judge Castle. To my right is Judge Hagel. To my left is Judge Davis. We're here today in the matter of Diana R. Polovic, docket number 06-3024. With counsel for both parties, please make your appearance for the record.
Good morning, Your Honors. Landon Overby for the appellant, Ms. Polovic. Joining me at counsel's table is Robert Chisholm.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Shayla McGee, the secretary. To my right is Bonner, the deputy assistant general counsel.
Thank you very much. Are both parties ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, each party will have 30 minutes to present an argument. Counsel for the appellant, do you wish to reserve a portion of your time for rebuttal?
With the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 10 minutes of my time.
All right, please so note, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning. May it please the court. Ms. Polovic seeks service connection for the cause of the veteran's death. The Board of Veterans' Appeals denied service connection for the cause of the veteran's death on the basis that the medical evidence of record, the probative medical evidence of record, did not support a causal link between the veteran's brain tumor, the in-service exposure to herbicide. Therefore, they denied service connection. The inherent problem with the board's decision in this particular case is its reliance on the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology medical opinion to deny service connection. The board found that particular medical opinion more probative than the opinions of Dr. Bash and Dr. Montemorano. The problem with the AFIP opinion, and the reason that it's not probative in this particular case, is one, as Dr. Montemorano pointed out in her medical opinion, that particular AFIP opinion failed to address certain studies that Dr. Montemorano points out in her opinion. But even more importantly, with respect to the AFIP opinion, we question the credibility of the opinion itself based on a review of the record and the actual opinion requests submitted to the AFIP opinion. In particular, in April 2005, the Board of Veterans Appeals sent a request to AFIP in which they indicated, these are the facts, the background of the particular case. Please answer these following questions, and there are three questions listed. AFIP returns the report, and in their cover letter specifically indicates, this case was reviewed, and we agree with your assessment. It is unclear from the record whose assessment the AFIP was agreeing with, especially since in the April 2005 letter, there was no such assessment.
Was that argued in your briefs?
It was not, Your Honor. But this goes to the point of the probative value under our clear errors argument, the primary argument that we've raised in our opening brief. Furthermore, with respect to the AFIP opinion, one thing stands out in that the AFIP opinion is based on the fact of a Agent Orange update of 2002. And in their opinion itself, it says, in your letter of April 25, 2005, as noted in your letter, according to Table 1.1, according to the April 2005 letter, there is no reference to the Agent Orange update or Table 1.1, which references the no association risk between Agent Orange and brain tumors. The Agent Orange study goes to the fact of presumptive service connection. Ms. Polovic is not seeking presumptive service connection for the cause of the veteran's death. She believes she has established that the veteran was exposed to Agent Orange, he died of a brain tumor, and that there is a medical link between the two. In that regard, Dr. Bash and Dr. Montemorano, both after reviewing the veteran's claims file, as well as additional studies that exist, as well as other matters, made the opinion that the veteran's brain tumor was a result of the Agent Orange exposure. The board rejects Dr. Bash's opinion, as well as Dr. Montemorano's opinion, on the basis that they didn't have, those particular doctors did not submit studies to the board. The board's decision in that regard is hypocritical because of the fact that neither did AFIP provide those studies.
So I understand your position. Is it a reasons and basis error or a duty to assist error with regard to the board's determination to assign less weight to Dr. Bash's opinion because he had not submitted his underlying work product?
I think it could be a duty to assist violation in failing to obtain those studies. As the court noted in its decision in Stone in 14 Bed App, The court clearly stated that the board, whenever they were aware of those studies, they had either the obligation to obtain the studies and the duty to assist, or at least a duty to inform the appellant that those studies needed to be submitted.
What if the board just found Dr. Bash's opinion to be confusing? Would they have to send it back out to have them clarify it?
I think if they, depending on the basis why, but I would suggest yes. If it's confusing, just as if it were a VA examination for an increased rating purpose or any other matter, if the examination was inadequate for adjudication purposes.
What if they had other adequate opinions from other doctors in the file, and they said, these are clear, we understand them, yes, we have Dr. Bash's, but it's confusing. What if they had said that, would they then have to send it out for Dr. Bash to clarify?
In that particular case, I'm sorry, Your Honor, that I think possibly that they probably would not have to.
But here, as I understand it, they said you didn't submit your work product.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And therefore, they found that it would have to be speculative for them to rely on that opinion.
That is correct. And even though they said it was speculative, they did acknowledge the fact that it was based on that Dr. Bash is a medical expert and therefore based on some sort of medical knowledge.
And, the board actually made the comment that the underlying data may have been biased. Is that not correct?
The board did indicate that ill-conducted meta-analyses may be biased owing to exclusion of relevant studies or inclusion of inadequate studies. So the board was aware that these studies possibly existed.
So this is different than just finding that that Dr. Bash's statement was conclusory or confusing or some other inherent aspect with his opinion. They were actually looking at the underlying and say, gee, that might be wrong.
That is correct.
And so is your position that they had under the duty to assist to get that information before they could reject a doctor's statement on that basis?
I believe so, Your Honor, both under the duty to assist as well as I indicated in the court's decision in Stone in 14 Bed App.
Do you cite Stone in your briefs?
No, Your Honor.
Neither the opening brief nor the reply brief, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
It did exist at the time you wrote the brief, so the briefs were written, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor, and we did not make an actual duty to assist argument in our opening or reply brief.
So you didn't make, you're saying that you the first time you're making a duty to assist argument is here?
Your Honor, we were responding to a supplemental
briefing.
You're correct.
I apologize.
And during preparations for oral argument, I unearthed the court's decision in Stone.
But was it that hidden?
It wasn't.
You had to unearth it?
It wasn't that hidden.
Proceed.
Counsel, let me follow up on Judge Castle's line of questioning regarding the documentation. Suppose the board's reason for not giving Dr. Bash's opinion the weight that it gave the other opinions is because the board thought that it was had a weak and unsupported rationale, as the secretary argues in their brief. I guess this is the supplemental memorandum of law on page 3. As opposed to only because there were no supporting documentation, or there was no supporting documentation. Does that change your view as to whether or not this should be returned?
Your Honor, if the opinion was not supported with any rationale, that opinion would be inadequate for adjudication purposes. But that's not the case here. Dr. Bash did provide...
The language was weak or unsupported rationale, not any.
And I believe with respect to the weak or unsupported rationale, it's based on the fact that the board concluded that Dr. Bash's opinion was based on these meta-analyses of these particular studies, and because he did not provide those studies, that his opinion was not more probative as to the issue of service connection for cause of death. Leading back to the question raised by Judge Castle, is that we would have a duty to assist violation. If those studies were necessary to substantiate the claim, then the board would have had an obligation to seek those studies.
Well, let me just about this expansive view of the duty to assist, if the board or the VA decides to seek a medical opinion and does so, isn't the analysis one of whether or not that opinion is adequate? And once the opinion is provided, isn't it up to the board or the original fact finder to make a determination as to its weight and probativity?
I believe so, Your Honor. I believe so, that the board clearly has the authority, and they do have the authority to actually determine the probative weight of a particular medical opinion. But to merely reject a medical opinion on the basis of studies that a particular doctor referenced, those studies that the doctor references, if they're necessary to the claim, then they should have obtained those under the duty to assist. Because the duty to assist, as the court, the Federal Circuit noted in a recent decision in Wood, they talked about the duty to assist in a DIC case and said if those records are relevant and they could substantiate the claim, then the secretary should seek those particular records. And those records exist here because the board was put on notice that there were some sort of studies. Now, the problem, looking back to the AFIP medical opinion, the same problem stands why the board rejected Dr. Bash's opinion as being less probative. The AFIP references some sort of studies, but those studies are not in the record. They were not supplied to the Board of Veterans Appeals. So looking at the same AFIP opinion and the logic used by the board, the AFIP opinion would be inadequate as well.
Well, if that were the only basis for the board's statement, I think you raise a good point, but that wasn't the only basis for the board's statement. It mentioned weak rationale in addition to documents, but that's okay. I understand your point.
I have some questions on your duty to assist argument. Now, sure. As I understand your main brief, you want us to find your main argument prior to the questions posed to you by the court, you and the VA, was that you actually want us to reverse based upon the facts of this case, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
But let me go to the duty to assist argument, and then I want to ask some questions about your main argument too. But articulate for me, you know, the duty to assist is pretty broad, right? You know, you got, you know, big statute that talks about it. You got a lot of regulations. Where precisely do you find a duty to assist? Under what statutory provision?
The statutory provision would be 5103 Big A.
Big A what? Again, Big A's got a part about medical exam. It's got a part about records. It's got a part about, you know, general duty to assist. So where do you find this duty? And I think it's important because you're asking us to find a duty to assist, and I want to know exactly what that's grounded in and how broad you're asking us to define that duty.
Certainly, Your Honor. I think it's in 5103 Big A, first subsection, little a, and it says the secretary shall make reasonable efforts to assist a claimant in obtaining evidence necessary to substantiate the claimant's claim for a benefit under a law administered by the secretary. Then it goes on to say the secretary is not required to provide assistance to a claimant under this section if no reasonable possibility exists that such assistance would aid in substantiating the claim. If the board was merely relying on the fact that there were no studies that provided by Dr. Bash, and those studies could potentially substantiate the claim and further substantiate Dr. Bash's opinion, then they had an obligation to seek those records.
Well, let me kind of flip the analysis the other way and tell me why this might be wrong. It seems to me that in looking at Dr. Bash's opinion and the board's analysis of it, what the board said was, look, the main focus of Dr. Bash's opinion is that he did this meta-analysis. And while the board doesn't talk about, you know, what a meta-analysis is, meta-analysis is the review of several, in this case, articles, and then applying some sort of statistical methodology to that to arrive at a conclusion, a summary conclusion. And as I understand the board's opinion, what the board said is, look, He just merely said, I did a meta-analysis and I came out with these numbers, and because I came out with these numbers, that I believe that there is a correlation between exposure to Agent Orange and this type of brain cancer. And the board says, look, we have no way of evaluating how he arrived at his ultimate conclusion. He just said, I did a meta-analysis, which is a very broad term, and he didn't define the meta-analysis that he did and so forth. Compare that to the AFIP opinion, in which they while admittedly they didn't say that they analyzed as many articles as Dr. Bash claimed that he did, they actually did list the articles in the opinion, and they did provide a basis for it. And whether I would agree with it or not, the board is the entity to make that determination. Now, why is that not a correct analysis? Why shouldn't I be able to rely on the board making that conclusion based upon the facts as I've described them? Or if I've inaccurately described the facts, let me know that.
Well, Your Honor, I think Dr. Bash, in his opinion, he does indicate that he did a meta-analysis, and he speaks to the particular literature that he's reviewed from the Institute of Medicine. In that regard, if there was a question as to what that Institute of Medicine research actually showed by studies alone, then the board should have obtained that information. Now, looking at the AFIP...
Why should they? They have an analysis from the AFIP, a respected institution, or at least one that they respect. The meta-analysis that was submitted was submitted in rebuttal to that, and submitted under the guidance of counsel. And what we're talking about is how credible is a piece of evidence, and why is it reasonable, given all the information that's in the record, for the board to have to go out and tell a medical professional what he or she has to do in order to make their opinion credible, more credible, I should say, to enhance its credibility. What we're talking about here is the scope of the duty to assist. I mean, how far we're going to either expand it or define how we're going to define it. The words are pretty broad, you know. Yes. I'll give you that. So, but we're talking here about trying to apply it in a factual situation that, you know, I've described to you. Now, why would we want to do that, given the fact that there's evidence in the record sufficient to decide the claim, medical evidence? The board looks at it and for its stated reasons says, I believe this is credible and that isn't credible, and states the reason. Why should the board have to go out and get additional evidence in order to analyze the medical opinion submitted by the veteran, also under the guidance of an attorney?
Well, Your Honor, I believe, first things first, with respect to the duty to assist, there is a statute, 5125, that says, that provides that claimants may submit medical opinions or submit private medical examinations that could be sufficient to substantiate the claim, and without VA necessarily having to go out and get their own medical opinion.
But VA is not bound by them. They can accept them or not.
That is correct, Your Honor. But getting to the point about being represented by counsel down below, we couldn't actually peer into the mind of the board to realize that they were going to rely on that basis to say, no, Dr. Bash, your opinion is of less probative value because we don't know which studies you reviewed. Therefore, even the counsel, let alone the claimant herself, could not actually know what the board was going to reject the opinion on. Should they have gotten the studies? I believe so, yes, because of the fact that if we would have known, we would have submitted those studies. But the board failed to explain to us that, especially under this court's decision in Stone, if that information was necessary to make that opinion credible or of the equal probative value that the AFIP opinion was, then the board should have alerted Ms. Pollitt to that information.
Okay, I have one other question for you, and I apologize. I'm going to go over a little bit here.
But I'd like to go over myself.
I would like to hear your answer to this because I want to hear what the VA has to say, and they won't have another opportunity. This goes to your argument that we should actually reverse the board and grant benefits. It seems to me that the argument is, in the main brief, that Dr. Bash and Dr. Monte, whatever it was,
Rana.
Sorry, I don't recall sure. the name, both basically came to the same conclusion based on their analysis that of all these articles, that there is a correlation between exposure to, a sufficient correlation between the exposure to Agent Orange and this type of cancer to surmount the preponderance of the evidence standard as opposed to some other standard, and therefore we should grant service connection here. Is that the argument?
Before you go, would you add 10 minutes to the clock, please?
What happens if Joe Smith walks in the door tomorrow and was in Vietnam and has this brain cancer? Does he get service and gets an opinion from Dr. Bash? Same opinion. Is he entitled to service connection also?
I would believe that he would be, yes.
Then why is this not presumptive service connection, which is dealt with under another issue? This is, you're arguing this under a theory of direct service connection, not presumptive service connection. If we were to accept your theory, then what you've done is you've redefined presumptive service connection, which is governed by a whole separate statute and a whole separate process for placing certain diseases on a list that is designed for presumptive service connection.
Well, Your Honor, addressing the presumptive service connection aspect first, the studies, whenever VA actually adds a disease or disability to the presumptive list, they do go through the Institute of Medicine, the Academy of Sciences.
Because they're required to.
They're required to. They look at that 95% as AFIP discusses in their medical opinion. They talk about the no association. The reason of the presumption is to eliminate the nexus requirement.
Correct.
So all you need is the disability and assume that the person...
Well, doesn't eliminate the nexus. The exposure to Agent Orange provides the nexus. Or that's the service event. They're tied together because of this presumption.
Sure, there's no actual medical doctor required to come in on top of the actual regulation. So if, for example, the brain tumor was on the presumptive list, then obviously we wouldn't be here. But in this particular case, the presumptive list is the actual nexus. So long as that veteran can show that they were in Vietnam, for example, and exposed to herbicides, then there was no medical nexus. On the other hand, in our particular case, and assuming Joe Smith, that he goes out, he has the same type of brain tumor, so long as the doctor reviews the pertinent information, that would be the claims file and all other relevant medical records, and bases the opinion on a review of that particular information.
But what happened in the claims file supports the claims file? There's no evidence in the claims file that's relied on here. The only thing it's relied on is Dr. Bash's opinion that this type of brain tumor, according to the articles he's read, is associated to some degree with Agent Orange exposure. That's all. There's nothing in the claims file that is germane to that his determination.
Your Honor, with respect to the claims file, what I was referring to is to establish the fact that the veteran, Mr. Polovic or Joe Smith, that they, in fact, were exposed or in Vietnam, and it could be presumed that they were exposed to Agent Orange. Now, they can also look at the studies. Just, I think, with any type of medical opinion, it's an opinion. And whenever they're looking at particular information, it's just as much as them open up a medical textbook.
No, I understand. I think I understand what you're saying, is that in this case, he's got an actual opinion, as opposed to, and he didn't need one in a presumptive case, right? I mean, isn't that what you're arguing?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Right. But the opinion that he has is one that's creating a presumption. I mean, but like you said, if Joe Smith walks in with exposure to Agent Orange and brain cancer, he gets service connection. Now, it seems to me What that's doing is placing, in this case, Dr. Bash and his colleague in the position of the agency that's supposed to make that determination to put these lists on a presumptive list. So that's why I'm having a hard time with this reversal argument. Okay, that's separate from your duty to assist argument.
I'd like to follow up on that. The board, when it rejected Dr. Bash's opinion, did so on an alternate basis. The first was because he didn't submit his information. We've discussed that. The second was because, as they say, or require that a greater degree of evidentiary weight be applied to the statistical conclusions of Dr. Bash over the published findings of IOM, NASS, and VA. And I think this goes and follows on to Judge Hagel's questions. Why can't the board rely on the published findings of IOM, NAS, and VA? And if Congress has said, by statute, you will put it on diseases presumptive on the presumptive list when the evidence is equal to or greater than, specifically says in the statute, or words to that effect, and the Secretary has not put this on that list, how can one doctor come in, two doctors come in, or five doctors come in and say, well, we think it is, when you've got all these massive studies saying it's not?
Well, Your Honor, I believe, one, again, back to Judge Hagel's question as well as your question, regarding those particular studies, they're done for the purpose of presumptive service connection. Presumptive service connection, there is a certain percentage level that has to be satisfied within the medical experts conducting those studies.
Well, before you go further, the statute 1116B3. Says if the credible evidence for the association is equal to or outweighs the credible evidence against the association. Now, I've heard this talk about 95%, and there's some discussion in the record, not much on the board. They don't really explain it all. And I heard you argue it. What's the 95% correlation got to do with a statutory requirement that if it's equal to or outweighs the credible evidence? And if the IOM, NAS, and VA say it hasn't met that particular standard, how can one doctor come in and... More importantly, why would it be arbitrary and capricious or clearly erroneous for the board to not rely on these studies?
Well, Your Honor, with respect to the studies itself, they do the analysis and they look at the 95% level. And the reason that's mentioned is because in the actual AFIFP opinion, they say there is a 95% no association suggestive evidence of a link between this type of tumor and the exposure to Agent Orange.
But what's that got to do with whether or not the evidence is equal to or outweighs the credible evidence against an association? It seems to me that's just an underlying scientific analysis, and a 95% correlation could have been at a 5% correlation. Still doesn't change the end result of a determination by these bodies that it has not yet reached the equal to or outweighing category.
Your Honor, I'm not sure why the Secretary has not added this to the list. If there is some sort of association, even 5%, I'm not clear as to why the Secretary didn't add the particular tumor to the list.
Well, because it would have to be equal to or outweigh the credible evidence against association. I see what you're saying, even a 0.1% from your point of view, huh?
So I'm not really sure why the Secretary has not added this particular disease to the list. I am aware that there were studies conducted after the 2002 and 2004 which is just a matter of public knowledge that the shift has already started to take place.
But are you in effect asking this court to reverse a board decision that says, hey, we're going to rely on these studies, congressional statutes and regulations, they have to be done, et cetera, because one doctor or a second doctor came in and said, well, we think there's a correlation, and therefore, in effect, they're saying that these studies are wrong?
Your Honor, yes, we're asking this court to reverse the reliance on the studies. If the studies were just simply sufficient to deny the claim itself on a presumptive basis, then there would have been no need for the AFIP medical opinion. They asked the opinion whether or not the veteran's tumor and the in-service exposure to herbicides were the cause or whether or not there was a link between the two. So if the studies ultimately controlled, then we wouldn't be here. The board was fully aware that we're not seeking presumptive service connection for the cause of the veteran's death, and therefore, under the Federal Circuit's decision in Combi, there could be a direct link, and that could be established by a medical expert. Dr. Bash and Dr. Montemarano have established that. As for the actual AFIP opinion, although the board gave more probative value to it, we again question whether or not if that's even the opinion of AFIP based on their statements in the record.
Counsel, as I understand Dr. Bash and Dr. Montemarano's opinions, Dr. Bash takes issue with the 95% standard used for scientific linkage and says it should be a 50% linkage, or he uses the standard that the VA would use, I suppose. Is that a legitimate basis for accepting his difference of opinion with the AFIP?
Before you answer, how much time do you want to add on this? How much time?
5 minutes, maybe.
Please add 5 minutes to the part.
Basically, he says, I disagree with 95%, therefore, there should be a linkage.
You want me to elaborate on?
I would appreciate it.
Sure. I think it's actually rather simple, Your Honor. Going back to the question as to presumptive service connection, the Institute of Medicine, the Academy of Sciences, they're doing these studies. They, in order to get it onto the list, they're going to have to make sure they're satisfied, and then they present their findings to the Secretary. The 5149 approach, the standard utilized by VA under the 5107B, goes to Judge Castle's question as well, is how can this overcome these studies? Well, the studies are for presumption service connection. If Dr. Bash is looking at the evidence and that there is a more likely than not, which is typically the standard that medical experts use in rendering VA medical opinions, as opposed to 95%, then sure, the benefit of the doubt in his opinion would apply. To actually articulate that, to say 51%, I believe 51% of this establishes a link between the veteran's tumor and the in-service exposure. He's not creating a new presumption that should be added to the list. He's just talking about the facts of this particular case.
The trouble I have with that analysis is I could understand that if Dr. Bash and his colleague say they examined part of the tissue samples and they said, hey, there's evidence of Agent Orange in this tissue sample, therefore this person's brain tumor can be linked to Agent Orange. But he doesn't say that. He says, in general, there's a 51 to 49% probability standard. It reaches that level, which to me is presumption. It's not this direct connection. That's the problem I'm having with your argument. And I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. But let me ask another question, counsel. If the medical opinion, Dr. Bash's medical opinion, were inadequate, what would the duty of the VA be?
Well, first, if they did determine that it was inadequate, just as they would with any type of VA examination, that they, in the regular rating process, they would explain what the inadequacies are. So if there were an instruction, just hypothetically, of a veteran who VA needs to get an examination and the examination fails to do the range of motion, they would return it and say, you failed to provide this particular information.
Okay.
So in the same light of this opinion, if they determined that it was inadequate, the proper remedy would have been to remand it with instructions to say, this is why we've determined it's inadequate. You should obtain this particular information. This is why.
Okay. And that leads me to, I think, my final question. And that is, isn't this, the board's opinion did not, the board's decision did not say that the opinion was inadequate. It really did an assessment of probative weight. Or is it your position that, in fact, the medical opinion was inadequate?
Your Honor, I don't believe that the opinion is inadequate. If it is, so is the AFIP medical opinion. Just because those studies are not in the record, there's nothing in the claims filed that shows the AFIP submitted their study. So I think we're all looking at the opinions with respect to did the studies, we know studies existed because everyone considered the particular studies. Did everyone submit those studies? The answer is AFIP, no, they didn't. Dr. Bash, they're not in the record. Dr. Montemarano, no, they're not in the record. So all opinions would be inadequate if you
haven't we even held that you don't need to have x-rays submitted, for example? You can rely on the doctor's view and opinion of it?
Certainly.
Do you have any other questions? Do you have any more comments?
I have no further
additional
questions.
Additional unearthed 25 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
If you need more time, we'll certainly give it to you.
Thank you, Your Honor.